Good morning. This message is brought to you by First Baptist Church of Clearfield, located at 111 North 2nd Street. To hear this and other messages, please go to the church website at fbcclearfield.com. Pastor Matt Brown and his congregation invite you to worship the Lord with them Sunday mornings at 10:45.
Morning. You can turn your Bibles to Proverbs chapter 1, Proverbs chapter 1, verses 29 to 33 to start out this morning. Proverbs 1, 29 to 33. We've actually, this morning, we'll be finishing out our Proverbs mini-series by talking about life and death. If you ever read through the book of Proverbs, you've probably noticed this theme come out a lot. So people often say the phrase, it's a matter of life and death. And if something is a matter of life and death, it's extremely important, often because someone could die, someone could suffer harm if no one intervenes. Many times doctors handle this type of situation as they handle people on the brink of death. Oftentimes, someone is in great danger, and we maybe get someone else's help by saying, hey, it's a matter of life and death, hurry up. And whenever you hear that phrase in a very serious situation, your pulse starts to pick up, your adrenaline pumps. You understand that this is an urgent situation. Someone could die very soon if no one intervenes. Well, when you read through the book of Proverbs, what you observe is that the author often points out that things are a matter of life and death. He shows us that fearing the Lord, obtaining wisdom, brings life, while rejecting God and his wisdom ultimately brings death. So really, we could say the acquiring of God's wisdom is a matter of life and death. Now, before we jump in, we remember where Proverbs is in the storyline of Scripture. So this is before Christ. This is even before the prophets as well. And at this time, there was no super clear and constant affirmation of an individual future life. Yet there were many glimpses of it. But for us now, you know, we're after Christ. We have the Word of God. We can look back and we can see, we can know the fuller picture of what life and death means with God and without God. And as we look at how Proverbs handles life and death, we must keep something in the back of our minds. So think back with me to Genesis 2 and 3. Everything's perfect. And God tells Adam and Eve that they must not eat of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil, for if they do, they will surely die. And then Adam and Eve eat of it, and what happens? They die. So their bodies physically start to die, and eventually they would pass away. But another aspect, they die spiritually. So they become separated from God. The world was cursed. They were now dead in their trespasses and sins. And with sin entering now into the world, there came brokenness, conflict, a myriad of other bad things. Remember what Romans says, the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord. Sin comes from us and brings death. Life comes from God and is eternal. So that whenever you think about this fact, means when you see sin present, death is sure to follow. When you see healing, when you see holiness, God is at work and he's bringing life. So here's the key. When we choose sin, when we choose rejecting God and his wisdom, it's going to bring chaos, it's going to bring brokenness, conflict, and ultimately death. But when we choose wisdom, when we choose to follow the Lord, He gives us peace. He gives us healing in our relationships. He restores things, and ultimately he gives us life. So as we look at these passages, remember that grid. Going down the path of sin and folly brings death. And so that's why you see a lot of times in Proverbs, it's like, this is the path of death. This brings death. Sin brings death. But going down the path of wisdom, of following God, brings life. And as we look at Proverbs, it shows us that every single person is on a journey. And it gives that image of we're on a journey and there are two paths. There's a path of life or the path of death. And Solomon challenges us, like, choose the path of life. Avoid that path of death. Look down there at Proverbs 1, 29 to 33, to get your mind really thinking about this reality. It says this, because they hated knowledge and did not choose the fear of the Lord, would have none of my counsel and despise all my reproof, therefore they shall eat the fruit of their way and have their fill of their own devices. For the simple are killed by their turning away, and the complacency of fools destroys them. But whoever listens to me will dwell secure and will be at ease without dread of disaster. Do you see what's going on here? Since the simple turns away from and despises wisdom, they deal with the result, the consequence, and the consequence is death. While the person who listens to wisdom dwells secure and is at ease. So God's way leads to life, security. But your own way, man's own way, leads to death and brokenness. Okay, that makes sense to us, hopefully, but here's the thing. Here's the dilemma. Is Proverbs talking about physical life and death or spiritual life and death? And it's not always clear cut. So let's get into what Proverbs says about life and death. So first we see passages that lean towards physical life and death. Now, of course, some of these items you could say go into the spiritual side, but these items lean towards the physical side. So when you think of Proverbs 31:12, a very easy example, she does him good and not harm all the days of her life. And so we would understand that is her lifetime. So simple, it's her physical lifetime. And then you get into other passages like Proverbs 9:11, which has wisdom speaking, and it says, "For by me your days will be multiplied and years will be added to your life." So again, this is a general truth. It doesn't talk about all the exceptions, but it's saying generally, when you heed wisdom, it prolongs your life. And when you're foolish, your life is shortened. And again, doesn't deal with the exceptions. So let me give you an example of this. So you have a person who is very foolish. They make numerous unwise choices. So he gets in with the wrong crowd. He starts doing drugs, skipping work, wasting his money. And these unwise choices could shorten his days as drugs mess up his mind. A drug dealer gets upset with him and kills him. Now, I admit this is a very extreme example, of course, but it proves the point that there's a common cause and effect system with wisdom and folly. We all know that walking into a street without looking both ways is foolish, and it could shorten your life, right? But wisdom says, I'm going to look both ways, and it will prolong your life. And so that's very narrow, and it's very simple, showing the physical effects of wisdom and folly. Again, these aren't talking about the exceptions, but generally, this is true. When you make wise choices, your life will probably be prolonged. But also there's times when Proverbs speaks of life in other ways. So in 16:15, in light of the king's face, there is life. So when you have favor with the king, it's essentially you have life in the sense of things are going to go well for you. Right? There's security in that. Of having the king's favor. Not having the king's favor might be, off with your head or you know, taking away of certain things, blessings that you might have. In Proverbs 15:27, we read that a person who is greedy troubles his own household, but he who hates bribes will live. So here, bringing trouble to your household is contrasted with living, with live. So in that sense, it's showing us that life here can be pictured as peace. So you're going to have peace in your household. There are places where there's talks about our physical well-being and vitality. Hope deferred makes the heart sick, but the desire fulfilled is a tree of life. A tranquil heart gives life to the flesh. Talks about how wisdom is life to those who find them, healing to their flesh. So the life that God gives us a sort of vitality, of internal vitality to us, to our whole being. You think about the opposite. The ways of those greedy for unjust gain takes away the life of its possessors. So what Proverbs demonstrates to us is that in one sense, life in Proverbs can show up in our psychological well-being. God gives those who follow him a sort of vitality to their whole being, where you're going to have more peaceful relationships. You're not going to be in this constant state of disappointment, but you can rest in God's favor and his sovereignty. And so possessing the life that Christ gives us means that we don't have to be in this constant state of torment, but we possess the fruit of the Spirit. And the life that only God can give furnishes us also with the power to do life-enhancing deeds for others. So he gives us this life, but also he gives us power to kind of give life to people. Now this isn't, we're not giving spiritual life to people, but an example would be Proverbs 18:21, death and life are in the power of the tongue. Gentle tongue is a tree of life. The mouth of the righteous is a fountain of life. So our words have power, and they can actually bring life in some sense of bringing restoration to relationships, bringing harmony, bringing peace, bringing healing. And you think about the opposite of these life-enhancing words would be breaking one's spirit, destroying relationships. Turn to Proverbs 11:30. Proverbs 11:30, look there at just the first part of this verse. The fruit of the righteous is a tree of life. So showing that the works of those who are in Christ, the works that they do, can actually provide blessings to others, like a tree of life bringing blessing and kind of peace and a, kind of like a healing factor of relationships. And that's what the tree of life did. Brought life. It brought healing. Think about Revelation. It talks about the tree of life will be there and have healing to the nations. God has given us this amazing ability to bless other people. And if it wasn't for God, we wouldn't have this power. But we must use it rightly. Because if it wasn't for God, we would definitely be using our words and actions in deadly, destructive ways. But thanks be to God, who is the great life giver. He prolongs our life exactly according to his will, so we rest in his control. He gives us vitality to life that's accompanied by peace and hope and healing, so rest in his blessings. And he allows us to be ambassadors of his life. And he gives us this power to bring this restoration. So use it responsibly. So there's a physical side of things, but there's also spiritual life and death, the spiritual side of things. So when you think about life and death, you shouldn't just think of it in terms of having a pulse and not having a pulse. Because God often speaks of people having eternal life compared to eternal death. He speaks of it in terms of being alive in Christ or being dead in our sins. So this points to in the direction of life can be spiritual. It can be eternal or not. And this life comes from God Himself through Jesus Christ. You see, we all start out in the realm of death. A state where we're already dead because we don't have a relationship with God. We're dead in our trespasses and sins. But those who trust in God's, Christ's work, have that relationship with God restored. We are given eternal life. We have fellowship with God. A concise instance of this is found in Proverbs 10:16. The wage of the righteous leads to life, the gain of the wicked to sin. So when we have the righteousness of Christ, that means we have life. When you don't, it means you're on your way to more and more sin, which ultimately leads to death. So go back to what I said earlier. We all start out in the state of death. So the state of selfishness, the state of wanting our own way. But God, in His grace and mercy, He offers us a better way, a better path, the path of life. And wisdom is shown in Proverbs as shouting to us in the streets. It's like, listen to me, turn away from that path of death and come to me, turn away. Leave your simple ways and live. 8:35, wisdom's talking. Whoever finds me finds life and obtains favor from God. When we go to God, we find life and favor. He saves us through Christ. He gives us spiritual life. He makes us alive. But what does it take to do this? A big part is turning from our sin and repenting. Think about Proverbs 16:17. The highway of the upright turns aside from evil. Whoever guards his way preserves his life. So life, the path of life is free, is available from God. But only those who turn from evil and from their own ways and believe in Jesus live. You see, we're all sinners. We're all bound for death. But God works in our lives, and we turn from sin and in repentance, and we depend on Christ, and we receive life from Him. But the person who does not turn, the person who does not repent and trust in the Lord, remains in their sins. They die in that state of death, that state of condemnation. We see in 19:23, the fear of the Lord leads to life. Whoever has it rests satisfied. He will not be visited by harm. We can have life now, even before heaven. God gives us eternal life, and we can possess that life now, and we can be satisfied with no fear of judgment to come. What a great and glorious blessing from God. We can have an abundant life in fellowship with God right now. We have a relationship with God that doesn't end when we die physically. And this is a life of great quality, where we can be free from anxiety. We can be content knowing that we have the Lord's favor because we're in Christ. We can actually flourish, spiritually speaking. We can grow. We can have a rich life. Because we're satisfied in who we are in Christ. We know who we are, like we talked about in Sunday school. As you think about life as a Christian, our bodies may be deteriorating, which each day that passes, but our lives, our souls are alive. They're alive. The Bible talks about how God renews our strength, restores our soul. We can have peace. We can have internal well-being in God. While those who reject God, they don't have that. And when we have this internal well-being, it's all because God has given it to us. Think about how there's some people who they look at someone and they say, "Wow, you look like death," right? And because of their bad state, because they don't look too good. But the great thing is about being in Christ is that we never have to eternally look like death, because we have life from God. We are alive forevermore. And God gives us this life, and the fruit of this life is peace and joy and strength. And that means as a Christian, you can always say, "It is well with my soul." No matter what I'm going through in life, no matter what physical ailments I might have, I can say, "It is well," because I'm alive in Christ. And so I may die tomorrow, I may die a million years, or not a million, I may die 50 years from now. A million. But it's okay because I'm alive in Christ. And death is not the end for a Christian. It's a beginning. It's a door that goes on. To not have this life from God is has separation. Sorry. To not have this life from God is to have separation between you and God. And this separation creates dysfunction. It means you have no blessing from God, no comfort in this life or in eternity. Because if you think about it, without God, there is no purpose or meaning to life. What's your purpose? Just to live for yourself and then die and that's it? To gain all the stuff in the world and then die and then it goes to someone else? Like, what's the purpose without God? You will suffer and have misery without any comfort, without any hope. So then why do people, think about this, why do people choose that path all the time? If it's so bad. Because death's path looks enticing. It does. It looks like the easier path. It's a path that comes most natural to us as sinners. But death's path is strewn with wisdom's warning signs all over the place where it says, "Don't go that way, stop, listen to me." But in mankind's sin and selfishness, they choose their own way. And in doing so, they're injuring themselves, and they show that they love death. Proverbs 8:36. Those who reject God, they wander from the path of good sense, and they end up in the assembly of the dead. They follow the path of death, but they don't realize that it's truly death to them, because it seems so good. Turn to Proverbs 16:25. It says, "There is a way that seems right to a man, but its end is the way of death. So walking by sight in the trust of your own wisdom only leads to death." And to many, it seems right to walk by sight. It seems right, but it's not the right way. Only God shows us the right path. And we rely on Him as we follow by faith. We rely on Him as He guides us along that path. So we fear the Lord. We trust in His wisdom. We heed wisdom, and that's the way of life. It's a tree and fountain of life, and it keeps us away from the snares of death. So being in Christ truly provides this abundant life. That's what Christ says. I'm going to give you life and abundantly. He gives us abundant life of meaning, of purpose, of peace. So not being in Christ means a life devoid of purpose. A life that is actually death. Sometimes in our world you hear people say, "Just live your life to the fullest." And what they mean is, you know, just enjoy life, live in the present, take risks, have adventures, experience new things. But true life to the fullest is a life that is hidden in Christ. God gives us hope, and he promises a home in heaven. And even in Proverbs, there are actually glimpses of this. Proverbs 12:28, in the path of righteousness is life, and in its pathway there is no death. 14:32, the wicked is overthrown through his evil doing, but the righteous finds refuge in his death. You know, once in a while you hear people say, my life is over. But to a Christian, your life is never over, but continues on into eternity. You find a refuge in your death. We will not taste eternal death, but we have refuge. Proverbs tells us that the path of life leads upward so that we may turn from Sheol beneath, while the unbeliever dies with no future and their hope perishes with their physical life. So we're told, don't envy them. It may look like, oh man, look at their life. It's going great, isn't it? You know, they're so happy and they have all what they want. The Proverbs says, don't envy them. Think about the future. Think about when they die, what's going to happen? Don't envy them, but fear the Lord, for surely there is a future and our hope will not be cut off. There are blessings of life right now as we're satisfied in him. We're able to be content. God tells us, be content with what you have. We can have peace. We can have favor with God. There are also blessings to come when we die, as we won't ultimately taste death, but we will live on into eternity with our Savior. When we believe in what Christ did on the cross, we go from death to life. Oh, how good it is to be a follower of God. Rejoice in the life that God gives. You know, even if you're not a follower of God, even if you haven't trusted in Christ alone to be saved, right now, God has given you an opportunity to repent of your sins, believe in him, and have eternal life. Today can be the day of salvation for you. Without God's grace, there is no hope or purpose in life, but only a dreadful future of condemnation. But in God's grace, there's hope, there's purpose, there's salvation, if only you would accept his free gift of salvation. So repent and be saved today. It's a matter of life and death. And what Proverbs shows us is that a relationship with the Lord brings life. Think about those. There are times when you hear that sentence, you know, you haven't really lived if you haven't eaten this food. You haven't really lived if you haven't visited this place or done this exciting thing. But let me tell you today, you haven't really lived if you haven't turned from your sin and trusted in Christ. For truly, a relationship with the Lord brings life. He's the living God, and he alone can give it to you. And we talked a lot about life and death today. And when you think about this topic, doesn't it just kind of blow your mind when you think about what Christ did? We all deserve death. Bound for condemnation, for eternal death, but the perfect Son of God came to this earth and died in our place. He conquered death by his resurrection. And now, because he lives, we live. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, we are thankful for your word. Thank you for the great hope that we have in Christ. That no matter, as a Christian, no matter when we die, we know we have a future. We know we have a home in heaven. We know that if we close our eyes in death, that we'll be with the Lord in that moment. We thank you for the great hope that we have. Thank you that we have purpose in this life. That we can live for you and glorify you in everything. May you be glorified today. In Christ's name, amen.